Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for standing by. Welcome to the National Unemployment Network Payment Conference Call. During the presentation, all participants will be in a listen-only mode. Afterwards, we will conduct a question and answer session. At that time, if you have a question, please press star followed by the number 1 on your telephone. If you need to reach an operator at any time, please press star 0. As a reminder, this conference is being recorded Tuesday, December 15, 2015. I would now like to turn today's conference over to Ms. Janet Cousins to begin. Please go ahead.
Great. Thank you, LaShonda. Good afternoon, everyone. Thank you for joining us today. Welcome to the All EM Payments Call. We do take the time during this call to review the many components of payment processing for the Ticket to Work program. I am going to be your host today, Janet Cousin, Provider Support Manager, and I'd like to wish everyone happy holidays. Last month, we moved our call up 1 week to accommodate the Thanksgiving holiday, and we're doing the same this month in moving it up 1 week to accommodate Christmas holiday next week. So thank you for making that adjustment and being here with us today. Joining me is Deborah Tennessee, our Program Operations Manager, and Sean Walcott, our EM Payments Manager with the Ticket Program Manager Organization. We also have Natalie Sendeldorfer and Katie Strivinger with the Social Security Administration team joining us as well. Our presentation for today, as usual, is being shared via the web link, and it is also accessible on yourtickettowork.com website in the calendar of events section that is under the Information Center tab and will be available after the call in the Events Archive section where all of our calls, recordings, and presentation materials are held for future review. Again, as usual, you'll be invited to ask questions at the end of the presentation, and we also have our chat room available if you'd like to ask any questions throughout the presentation. So with that, let's get started. All right, so our agenda for today, we'll be reviewing some announcements. We'll give an update on ePay status. We'll also review a couple of tips and tricks for the ticket portal. That's something that we've been doing the last few months as the orientation sessions have not resumed, and we want to make sure that you have some hints on how to use the features of the portal. We'll also recap a lot of the changes that occurred this year. It was a busy year for us in this project. So that's our plan for today's meeting. All right, so our announcements. The very first one is, if you've participated the last couple of months, you've heard the name Sean Walcott. Sean is our EN Payments Manager, and I will be transitioning the hosting duties for this call to Sean effective next month. He's been joining us the last couple of months, and we'll be handing the baton to Sean. He's very knowledgeable, and I'm sure will continue to do a great job with this call and presenting information for you. Secondly, as we do annually, there will be new pay rates for the program effective 2016. We'll be discussing those in January. And updating you on all of the new information, any changes and things that are coming for the new calendar year. We do have the new trial work level and SGA dollar amounts. They are posted online at the SSA site, and we've included them here. Trial work level, the new amount is $810. The SGA non-blind at $1,130 and the SGA blind at $1,820. Again, that's posted out on the Social Security Administration website as well. Just a couple of reminders with the upcoming holidays. Next Friday, December 5th, we will be closed for the Christmas holiday, and the following Friday on January 1st for the new year. All right, so ePay processing continues. Our second file began, we began processing it on November 2nd. To this point, we have processed more than 21,000 claims. All have been paid to ENs. We have denied just over 3,000 claims based on the information and requirements for payments. So we're continuing to work that file. It was a large one this time around, and we'll continue processing those by SSN. So if you've received some payments, there may be more to come for you as we're processing them in SSN order as opposed to processing all payments for one EN and then moving to the next one. That way, you know, everyone, there's seems to be more distribution of the process across all of the service providers. Now, once we complete this file, the next file we expect to receive will be towards the end of January of next year, and then we'll begin the process again and provide some updates for you on how that processing continues. So just a couple of reminders in regards to ePay. Certainly, you do not have to wait for a payment to be processed through the ePay process. If you have evidentiary evidence, you may go online to the ticket portal and submit your payment request through that process. Or if you're a non-portal user, you can submit your payment request form with your evidence and fax it in to our fax line. The other reminder we want to share is that while the portal does not provide any type of indicator in the tickets, the payments already made to me report, all of the ePay payments that are processed are included in that report. So you can certainly either view by SSN and the list beneficiaries assigned to me screen, or you can go into the payments already made to me screen and see all of the payments, and the ePay payments will be included there as well. And then lastly, when we do have situations with ePay processing or the standard portal payment requests that are submitted, and we need to follow up with you, then we do rely on your EN contact information in the system. So we're just reminding you to review that information as you may change your email address or make other changes to your contact information. Please ensure that that is updated and you contact us when changes need to be made, so that we're able to outreach to you and engage you as quickly as possible. So that's our update on ePay. LaShonda, what I'd like to do is just open up the line and see if we have any specific questions related to the ePay process.
Ladies and gentlemen, if you would like to register a question, please press star followed by the number 1 on your telephone keypad. If your question has been answered and you would like to withdraw your registration, please press the pound key. One moment for your first question.
Okay, it seems that we don't have any questions. All right. Well, that's good. We'll continue and move on then. And certainly, if you have an afterthought, then make a note of it, and you can ask at the end of the call when we open the lines once again.
And we did have a question to come in.
Oh, great.
Questioner, your line is open.
Hi, yes, thank you. This is Gloria Hopkins. How are you today?
Oh, well, hi, Gloria. Good afternoon.
Wonderful. I had one question. I'm assuming that the ePay file is so big because I think they've been doing it ever since the early part of November, and they're still doing it in December. I personally only got one beneficiary under the ePay. But, however, what about the ones that I'm just submitting through the portal with evidentiary payments? I have not got any kind of indication that they're going to be paid, and I did that as early as, say, December 1st.
Okay. Well, with the when you're submitting payment requests through the ticket portal, you should see the reference number that is provided to you once you click submit. That work case is created immediately. It's generated. And it is visible in the list pending payments for me screen. So you could track it there. We do still have a 30-day turnaround time for processing all payment requests. And when we do have an ePay file that we're working in addition to the payment requests that are being submitted through the portal and manually for non-portal users, we're managing and balancing all of those requests and processing them. So if you haven't seen a progress change or a status change on your payment request yet, then the team may not have completed review and processing of it. But we do have that 30-day commitment and turnaround time for all payment requests that are submitted.
Great. Okay, I'm just so used to seeing some type of activity on the record. Like if I do it December 1st, say by December 3rd, it's going to the next position. Of allowed to be paid.
Okay, this is Deborah Tennessee. When we receive an ePay file, and you're absolutely correct, we have thousands of claims to assess. Processing payments through or claims by way of the regular process is delayed. I just checked with Sean, who is the end payments manager now, and he's confirmed that they have reached December 1st. Our receipt date of claims for December 1st. So we should be processing any claims received December 1st today and the rest of the week. It doesn't take us more than a day normally to catch up on any particular day, but we should be getting to your claim real soon.
Okay, thank you so very much. You've been very helpful.
Thank you. We have one question about from the chat, and it's from Jay George, and the question is, could you provide a quick overview of how processing by SSN differs than by DUNS? Okay. When we process by SSN, we sort SSN in ascending order. I think that's right, starting with the lowest area number, the first three digits of the SSN. And that gives us a variety of claims for multiple DUNS numbers or multiple ENs. If we process by DUNS number, and if you're fortunate enough to have a DUNS number that starts with 00 and seven other digits, then we will process all your claims first. If you are an EN whose EN was in the 999 area, seven, begin with a seven or eight, it would be a long time before we got to your claims. We have some ENs who have a couple thousand claims in our file. So we would get through that EN first, and it might be 2 or 3 weeks before we touched any of your claims. So to be fair, we sort it this time by SSN to mix it up so all ENs would benefit from some payment. Let's see. There is a question from someone, I think it's Lisa Marie, and the question is, what if AutoPay pays a milestone and we do not think it is accurate? For example, our records indicate the client is under SGA for that month. A beneficiary could have earnings at SGA, but for ticket payments, we process payments in orders. We do not jump to outcome payments or phase two milestones just because the earnings level changed to SGA. We have to process all phase one milestones first. And we won't change that unless the beneficiary goes into an outcome situation, meaning that Social Security placed that beneficiary in a payment status of non-pay or suspense due to work or earnings. So as long as that beneficiary is in current pay, the EN has not received all the phase one and phase twos in order that you're supposed to get them, the beneficiary status hasn't changed, we will continue to make the payment in the order in this situation, all phase one by phase one milestones instead of outcomes. Someone asked, can we receive prior notification of upcoming ePay payments? Now, I'm not really sure what you're asking, or whether you are EN individually who wants to know, oh, you'll be to send you a message, you will be getting some payments by way of e-pay. We hadn't notified EINs by way of different calls when we received the e-pay file and when we start processing. So that's the notification you will get. As Janet mentioned, I believe she did earlier, that the next e-pay file is expected probably the end of January. In January, we will get our next OXI file. These are the quarterly earnings, so we will have more claims that we can process. And then Teresa has asked the question, what time frame are e-pays covering? Well, first of all, we can cover any retro payments that you haven't been made. So we can go back to 2010, 2008, 2012. If we have earnings in our database and you haven't been paid for those earnings, or and you were the EIN of record, and all the other information is accurate and meets the requirements for payment, we will pay that. But I think you may be asking, what's the latest quarterly file earnings we have? And I think Katie can answer that. I thought it was maybe the second quarter of 2015. But if Katie is still on the line, could you confirm that, Katie? What's the latest quarter of earnings we have through the OXI process?
Sure. The last file we got was in October, so we should have earnings through October. There is a bit of delay in OXI data, so we are saying, you know, if there were earnings reported to OXI by the time we received the file in October, we have October data, but there is usually a delay with reporting, so we definitely have earnings from June.
So June is the last. So it's the second quarter of 2015 is where we received the latest OXI data, which SSA received in October.
Right, just because, you know, because it takes a while for us to get 100% of the OXI data, to get 100% of reporting from all the states. So while we got data in October, that does not mean that the state your beneficiary resides in, we had information from that state as of October.
Right.
I know it's confusing, but so the clearest answer is we have data as of October. We're going to get new data in January, and it just depends on what information we have from October.
Okay.
But we're confident that we have the second quarter data.
I have one more question about e-pay before we go on. Question is from Sarah. Part two to the e-pay question, are e-pay still being processed monthly? If so, are they processed the first week of each month? No, they're not processed monthly. We received our first e-pay file we received in August. The second e-pay file we received for processing was actually November 2nd. I believe it was ready to end of October, but we received it for processing November. So it looks like every 3 months when we get an updated quarterly file, it seems to me right now that's when we're getting the e-pay file. And it's not the first week of the month. We've been processing this e-pay file we had since November 2nd, and we're still processing it. So we process this file until we're done.
Okay, great. Well, there is a lot of good questions there. Thanks for posting those on the chat, and the call from Gloria and Deborah for clarifying all of the questions. So let's move on. We are going to now turn our attention to the ticket portal and review some tips and tricks for you, things that can benefit you as well as help us on the back end in processing your requests more efficiently and more quickly for you. So this one, we're taking some time to review because we've had a number of situations where folks have submitted payment requests through the portal, and when they're prompted to add earnings, there's been some issues with how the earnings have been added. So I want to take a few minutes to just kind of review the appropriate way of entering earnings through the ticket portal. Now, keep in mind, you should have that ticket portal user guide. It's accessible through the Secure Training website. We encourage you to go there and download that user guide, print it out if you need to, or keep an electronic copy because it has copies of all of the screenshots. It provides a lot of detail in regards to all of the features and functions of the portal. But here, when you're submitting a payment request, you've entered in the claim month, and this screenshot, it's October 1 of 2012. This is John Doe, the ticket holder. It's an outcome payment request. And again, you're prompted to the question of adding earnings. So you answer yes, and you see this screen. There are some required fields. All of the required fields have an asterisk there. You must provide an answer for each of those fields. The other key thing is if you are, for example, submitting a P1 M3 payment request. Well, here's an outcome. So you have certain requirements for that payment request, and you may have multiple documents that are the earnings evidence, the evidentiary earnings, pay stubs, the work number report. You may have multiple stubs that you want to include with this payment request. We are receiving some entries where they're combining four pay stubs, putting the oldest start date and the newest, the most recent end date, and making one entry. We really need to ensure that when you're entering in your earnings data, you create a separate record for each piece of evidence that you have. So if there's four pay stubs, you should be making four separate entries. Now, you will have the option and the ability to enter up to 25 different earnings records. So there really shouldn't be any combining of the evidentiary evidence, and you certainly do not have to enter in multiple entries for earnings that overlap into multiple months. Once you key it in for one payment request, if you're relying on those earnings for the next payment request, those will be referenced because they'll be saved in the system already, so you don't need to re-key any of those earnings. So those are the key things. Make sure that you enter a single record for each piece of evidence that you have. Make sure you complete all of the, you're prepared to provide all of the required fields that are marked with the red asterisk. And keep in mind, once you save one record, you'll have the ability to go in and add additional records, up to 25 unique records. Okay. So our next tip for the day related to the portal is in regards to payment history. We receive calls sometimes saying that from the main menu when they go in to list their payments through the payment status report, list payments already made to me, it shows all of the tickets. And for some of you, that may be a very long list. If you want to see just one beneficiary payment history record, all of the record of their payments, you can go into the first option on the main menu, which is the list beneficiaries currently assigned to me. You actually have two options there, even beneficiaries that are formerly assigned to you. They're no longer currently assigned, but you want to go back and look at their payment history. You can do that by going into this screen and then finding the beneficiary that you want to see information for. So the bigger screenshot here is showing the list of beneficiaries currently assigned to me. Let's say it's Jane Doe that you want to review their payment history. You'll come over to the actions link, click on that link, and then you'll see the more actions menu. In that more actions menu, these are actions just for that particular beneficiary. So in the screenshot for John Doe, you have the option of choosing show payments. There you can see just the payments that were associated with that beneficiary. There's other options there in that more actions menu. You can see pending payments just for John Doe. You can see assignments. There's several options there. You can even request a payment if you're requesting a new payment for this particular beneficiary. And again, the Ticket Portal User Guide has more details and screenshots related to this particular function. All right, so our third tip for the day is to just remind you again that you know, there is also ways here to check a payment status. And again, it's for the individual ticket holder. You can use that More Actions menu, not only to show your payments, but to show your pending payments, show your assignments. From the main menu screen under the payment section, you have two separate payment status reports. The first option is to view payments already made to me. Again, those are all payments that have been closed. They're either paid, they're in the process of being paid by the Treasury, and they're in an allowed status, or you'll also see your denied payment request in that payments already made to me screen. Your pending payments option is for all open payment requests that are still being reviewed. They may have a diary status that you can see details on, or they may just simply indicate pending, and those are still being processed by our payment staff. All right, so let's move on to our next agenda item. We want to take you down a walk down memory lane, review the many changes that occurred during this calendar year. There were a number of them. Our focus this year was on automation and streamlining processes. We had introduced our highly anticipated Tickle portal. There was real-time ticket assignment and payment request status. The former secure provider portal and IVR was shut down. There were a number of manual processes made available to our portal, our non-portal users. So let's take a look at the January and March items that were really focused on business process changes at the beginning of the year. So in January, our certification of services requirement for payments was eliminated. The form that was required to be supplemental to the payment request form when you submitted requests for the old portal process or the manual fax process was no longer required to be included with those payment requests. So that form has been eliminated totally. Consumer directed services ENs no longer have to submit their receipts for their additional information. Section 5 of that payment request form was still required when submitting the Phase 1 and Milestones 1 through 3, but, you know, as we move forward in the year, even that has changed. We had new rates that were introduced in January, and we'll, again, next month introduce the, well, we shared the new rates in our announcements, and we'll update these tables and the forms that are accessible on our website so that you'll have that historical information and you can reference for old payment requests that you may still be processing for 2014 or 15 or previous years. March is when the Cuba report was no longer made available for you. We did still accept old Cuba reports prior to the ticket portal launch for payment requests that you had a Cuba report for. However, it has been totally eliminated at this stage, and the Cuba data, which is the quarterly data that Deborah was referring to, the OTSI data, is now being incorporated with the new ePay process. So that same information that you used to go pull and include with your payment request is now being automatically considered when the ePay process is run. Moving on along down the timeline here, looking at June, there was a lot of activity in June related to the new ticket portal launch. So again, we introduced our new ticket portal. This is an online automated system that allows employment networks and the state vocational rehab agencies to perform their transactions in real time. We had a number of volunteers that worked with us to test early on as part of the pilot. We want to thank you again for those that did participate. It was a very valuable partnership with you all to to test the functionality and prepare us for the launch in June. By the end of that month, there were more than 400 users that were migrated either from the old ticket portal or introduced to the new ticket portal as their first online tool for the Ticket to Work program. So we launched that mid-June. In order to assist with the transition and learning opportunities, we had several training materials available for you. We introduced our secure training and resources page. That page is still available, by the way. You all should have your login access, and you're welcome to go there at any time as you need to review a self-paced training module that walks you through the various functionality of the portal. The user guide has been updated since the initial launch several times. So that's something that you should review, and we normally will send out an announcement when there is a new release and includes a new user guide with additional functionality or documentation. So keep that link, save it on your favorites, and return to it periodically to get your updated user guide. We also have some additional training information. There are training videos on the payment request process as well as assignability processes, and those are all available on the yourtickettowork.com website. We did host several weekly ticket portal orientation sessions. They were weekly in June and July, reduced to twice monthly in August and September, and then we had our final session in October. So, there is still material available for you and for your new coworkers as they're provided access to the ticket portal, and we encourage you to continue to go out and use those resources for your training needs. All right, so in July, we now have our new ticket portal launched, and we are shutting down the old, moving on with the new. So let's see what happened in July. The secure provider portal and the IVR process that we'd had in place for a few years was officially shut down as of July 1st. We introduced a new encryption PIN structure for you to send any PI information and secure any information that you needed to share with us via electronic correspondence. So as of the 15th of July, we did announce and send out information to all employment networks and vocational rehabilitation agencies stating that they should discontinue that 5-digit IVR PIN that many of you had become so familiar with through the years, but we had to change that process, and we did introduce a new formula for the new encryption PIN. This is important to memorize. A lot of we receive documents through the EM Payments Help Desk as we're researching items for you and working with you. And when you send those documents to us, we assume that it is the encryption PIN, this standard that we're looking for. And if it's not that standard, we'll follow up with you and advise you that the PIN is not working. So you should memorize this new encryption PIN structure. All right, so now we have launched our new portal. We've shut down the old systems. In August, our ePay process began. So let's talk through that a little bit. So as mentioned earlier, ePay is this automated systems check that is run on the back end for all of the current ticket assignments or unassigned tickets. And we're comparing those against earnings that exist in the various Social Security databases to assess whether possible payments can be made to your EN. So we'll pay any claim that has not been paid already if there are earnings available to verify eligibility. And there's other payment criteria that we have to assess as well. And that's why it may take some time because of the volume of tickets that we're reviewing and the intricacy of assessing for the various criteria to ensure accuracy of payments. The goal is to avoid or minimize overpayments and to ensure that we are identifying all eligible payments through this automated process. And again, the reconciliation payments after outcome 12 are also considered as part of ePay. So there's just a couple of review here in terms of the process. No sign-up or action on your part is required. We did replace all of the prior existing AutoPay processes, UAP, the VREN process for VRs, with all of those processes were replaced, and the final processing of those old systems were made in June. And then this one began in August. Let's see what other key bullets here. So, again, August was the trigger for our transition from the traditional auto pay processes into the new ePay process that we are running now. All right, well, that concludes our walk down memory lane. It was an action-packed year, lots of changes, lots of new things that have been introduced. The feedback has been good. I think that, you know, we have worked and partnered with Social Security on addressing issues as quickly as possible as they arise, and certainly encourage you to share additional feedback. I'm sharing now the just a review of the resources that are available to you if you need any assistance. Again, our helpline is available from 9 to 5 Eastern Time, Monday through Friday. There are two options today for the Payments Help Desk and Systems Support Help Desk. We also have email addresses here available for you if you need any further assistance. And certainly for those non-portal users, the fax line is your option for submitting your payment requests and receiving those follow-ups. All right. Well, that's it for today. I'd like to open up the lines again, LaShonda, and see what questions we have.
Certainly. At this time, if you would like to ask a question, please press star 1 on your telephone. And we do have a question from the line of Sam Ugibbons.
Yes. My question is on the payments that's coming in through the portal, the ePay system. If your accounting does not want to accept the payments because they are so old, and I didn't have an indication of those forms because it was way before I got here. What kind of proof can Social Security give us, in writing is what they want, to show that these payments belong to us?
I'm not quite sure what you got that, but when you submit a claim, whether it's through the portal or if you send it in to us by way of fax, if you are the EN of record, meaning that the beneficiary is assigned to you, we see that. We know that. And you should have that information, too. So if a beneficiary was assigned to you prior to you coming to work for an EN or whatever, we know that. Now, if you submit a request and the beneficiary was not assigned to you, then we cannot process that claim. So the best, you know, you could call a help desk to get clarification on whatever you submitted. But as long as you submit the evidence and a beneficiary is assigned to you for the period or the month that you're submitting a claim, that claim should go through the portal. And the case notes won't make a difference.
Okay.
Sam, is there?
No, what I was talking about is the payments that's coming through the portal, through the ePay system.
That's not the ePay system. The portal is just a faster method of you submitting your claims instead of you submitting a fax copy or sending your payment request through the fax line or through the mail. It's an online real-time process for submitting your payments. ePay is a different process. It's where Social Security has earnings for a number of beneficiaries that may be assigned to an EN, and they develop a file of those beneficiaries, and then our payment staff will assess those claims to see whether or not you are due any payments. And you do not have to submit a payment request for an ePay claim. It sounds to me what you're talking about, you are submitting these payment requests through the portal?
No, ma'am. What I'm saying is that just the ones you're talking about,
the
payments that's in the system now.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, the problem is once I send the billing request over to my accountant, they're saying that since the payments are so old that's coming from Social Security, they don't want to accept the payments. So what do I do then?
Then it must be you are submitting a payment request prior to July 21st, 2008, because the rates changed and we don't go beyond that. Further back than that, so that's the only situation I know of where you should be getting a message that the payment is too old. Now, if your claims are for 2009, 2010, 12, 14, or whatever, and you're having problems getting those paid, then I think you should call our payments help desk, and then you could talk on a case by case basis. You could discuss an individual, a claim that,
okay.
Okay? Because
yes,
I can do that over the phone now, okay?
Okay.
Yeah, absolutely, Sam. The phone number is, I went back a slide. You can give us a call, select option one, provide some details associated with the particular payment or claim request that you're inquiring about, and they'll be happy to assist you.
Okay. Thanks.
All right, thank you.
And our next question comes from the line of Steve Gerke.
Hello, this is Steve Gerke, SKG Career Services in Colorado. Regarding my question, it has to do with the portal. I had a payment request denied, and the code indicated it was denied because the person was visually impaired and the SGA income level wasn't enough. However, he's not blind. So I assume I could call the help desk, but what else should I be doing here?
We have codes. There are Social Security codes that we use in making an assessment, whether it's blind SGA or non-blind SGA. And if you could contact the help desk on that just to make sure that someone didn't read a record incorrectly and pick up a code thinking it was blind and it shouldn't have been, that's the first step. If the help desk comes back to you and says, oh, no, the code here for this person is blind, then that beneficiary needs to go into the local field office and clear that up.
Oh, okay. So it might have been just a clerical error.
It could have been. Just
okay.
Not really clerical, but just a misinterpretation of a code.
Okay. And then one other question. When we're putting the information into the portal, the client does still need to either fax the information or take the information into the local office as well, or I can do that for them. But that was my question. It would be really nice if we faxed in the information, then they wouldn't have to do it as well. But I'm just wondering if that's what's true.
Yeah. So Steve, the fact that you as an EN are submitting payment requests and providing pay stubs and earnings information through the ticket portal does not
negate the requirement that the ticket holder has for submitting their and reporting their earnings. They still have that requirement for reporting, whether it's through the field office or the toll-free number, I think, they have available as well. Unfortunately, I mean, it will eventually end up in the same place. But
yeah, they get confused because they get confused about, oh, well, I gave you the pay stubs, you know, and
Right. Unfortunately, that's it doesn't negate their requirement for reporting.
Well, thank you. And by the way, I just think the portal is really great, and it's really a good thing.
Great. Thank you. Great. Thanks for that feedback. I'm glad it's helpful for you.
Thank you.
Thanks.
I see one comment that's in the chat from Misty. It says the field office keeps telling beneficiaries not to report to them. And we hear this a lot, and I think I one or two calls I've mentioned it. If that happens, still send your earnings into Maximus. We will key those earnings. The field office should not be telling you that, but it's important for the beneficiary to get those earnings and to make sure they're not overpaid. Because of the fact that Social Security doesn't have its earnings and doesn't know the beneficiary is working at a certain amount. So send those in to us, and we'll make sure those earnings are keyed.
Great. Yeah, that's good feedback. What I understand is that maybe some geographical areas, the field office may not require them, but it is a requirement for the program, and certainly, as Deborah mentioned, we can receive those pay stubs and key them in to the system. All right, next question.
Our next question comes from the line of John Duplessis.
Hi, John. John, are you there?
John, your line is open.
Can you hear me?
Yes, we can hear you, John. Yes.
Okay, I'm sorry, but nevertheless, my partner was listening in on me on the call, and she wanted to ask a question. One second.
Okay. Hello, everyone.
Hello.
Merry Christmas, Happy Hanukkah, Happy Kwanzaa, and Happy Holidays. I want to make sure I covered it all.
Awesome. Thank you so much.
You're welcome. My question is this. I submitted a payment through the portal back on November the 19th, and that was my first time using the portal, and I inadvertently actually printed out three of the cover sheets that accompany the evidentiary evidence. Mm-hmm. And I called the Ian Payments help desk to notify them that I had made the mistake, as well as sending an email. And I'm still seeing in the portal where those extra cover sheets or claims are still, our payment requests are still showing up. So what do I need to do at this point?
So let's just clarify. You have gone through the portal back in November, submitted a payment request. As a part of that payment request submission, you generated fax cover sheets.
Correct.
And is it that you realize that was the wrong payment request, i.e. in terms of the claim month and the
Well, actually, it was I didn't realize that it had generated three, and I submitted the evidentiary evidence on one of them. So two of them have no payment or evidentiary evidence to go along with them. So they're basically null and void. And I sent in that information to the Ian Help Desk, notifying them of those numbers that are associated with the fax cover sheet to go ahead and take those out of the portal so there is no confusion. However, they're still showing up in the portal.
Okay, what should have happened, and you're referring to the reference number that's printed on the fax cover sheet that was generated
with
submit. Okay, so yeah, what should happen with those reference numbers, we don't delete any of the work cases that are generated, but what we would do is make a note in there and just mark them as denied, or, you know, just to close them out and clear them out. So if you're still seeing them out there as pending since November, actually they should have been, well, let's see, in terms of we have a 9-day diary period, so they should have even been denied because of no action or no response. If you would like to send them back at my attention, Janet Cousin, I'll be happy to take a look at it and make sure that we get those addressed. It may be that they're in the queue behind the e-pay processing at this point, but I can certainly follow up with you on that and make sure that we get those closed out for you.
Right. Thank you, Ms. Cousin, because I did. They are still showing up in the portal. So I was just a little concerned that it might affect the actual payment request that should be coming through. In fact, the 30 days expire on this coming Saturday.
Right.
I have one additional question. We have a consumer that went off benefits in September. He went back on benefits in October, and now he's back working again. So how long do we need to wait before we can resubmit payment requests for him? Does he need to work an entire month, or do we wait till like 2 months? I'm not sure how that works.
You can submit it. Do you know what type of payment he's eligible for?
He's on phase two.
So phase two.
Yes, ma'am.
As soon as he starts working at SGA, you can send in a payment request.
Okay. I just wanted to make sure that I wasn't submitting them too early.
Mm-mm, no, you're not submitting because he's assigned to you.
Okay, I just wanted to make sure.
If it's the month of November, you can send those now. October, when did he go back to work?
In November.
November. If you have earnings above SGA, send them in.
Okay, so it's okay to send it in for November. Okay, very good. Thank you all so much, and you all have wonderful holidays.
Oh, you did the same.
Great. Thank you very much. Great questions.
Our next question comes from the line of Lori Tindell.
Hello, Lori.
Yes. Hi. Can you hear me?
Yeah.
Great. I just have two quick questions. One, does the e-pay replace the auto pay then? Like when you submit the first outcome payment and the rest were on auto pay, does e-pay replace that?
Yes, it does.
Yeah.
Okay.
The old universal auto pay process was eliminated, and the new e-pay process does incorporate that processing.
Okay. And the second part of that is when you say that payments are made based on earnings that Social Security has received, are those from both beneficiaries and employers or just employers?
Information can come from a variety of sources.
Or ENs, okay.
It can come from a variety of sources. I can just tell you that.
Okay.
But because it is such a large variety of sources, that's why the e-pay process is so successful, because we're getting earnings information from many, many sources.
Okay, great. Thank you.
Thank you, Lori.
Our next question comes from the line of Linda Patino.
Hello.
Hi, Linda.
Hey, how are you guys? First and foremost, thank you so much. There was a lot of information that you covered, a lot of activities this year. Hopefully next year continues to make progression like this one. So thank you. And the e-pay is working for us. I'm really happy. There's a few things that I'm kind of concerned on. How are they comparing? Like, I know they're looking at the Social Security numbers and who they're assigned to. There's one that I am going to submit through the help desk because I have a little bit of a concern that this might be a VR because we had released the file and went to VR. and it, I don't know if we should, I have to look at that one closely to see if we should be getting payments. So are you looking at VR services besides EANs when you're doing the payments through the ePay?
Are we doing what? Okay.
Yeah, for those individuals, like if they, it's one of the older ones and this person, maybe they've been referred to VR from us. We've got payments since then when we're assuming they're with VR because we did the referrals and it's showing in the portal that they're with VR. Is it appropriate that we get paid even though they're with VR?
It kind of all depends because the VR could be acting as an EN or the VR could be under cost reimbursement method. So depending on a claim month and how long it has been since you had the ticket unassigned and the when did you receive the last payment on a beneficiary? It's been more than a year?
It was one of those that showed up. We didn't receive payments. They were kind of MIA. Then we finally got a hold of them, found out that they needed some additional services, referred them to VR, and then all of a sudden now we're getting paid on them during the time that we thought they were with VR. So that's what my concern is on it. Or is it catching those, or those are just going to be a few in between?
If the ticket is with VR, we shouldn't be paying you for those months.
That's what my concern is.
I would send that to the help desk. That's what
okay. Not that I don't want the money, but.
I know that. But we need to look at that one, okay?
Yeah, so I will dig a little bit more on that one and get it to you because I know I caught that one. It was just one of the ones in the last few days, and I was concerned because it was an e-pay. The other thing I did want to ask, and it's kind of along those lines, on the split payment, how is it that EANs are being notified there's a potential split payment?
They're sent an email with a letter attached, which gives you the steps that you need to take if you want to participate in a possible split. And I'm glad you brought it up on the line. I also answered this question in the chat.
Yeah.
We send notification to EANs by way of email. And we use the email address that we may have here on file. Now, I know a number of ENs have different people who deal with different things. A number of ENs have a payment contact. Some don't. We have taken almost a month sometimes trying to find a contact for a particular split payment because we do not have a contact for a beneficiary. We might have a signatory authority or whatever, but for the payment contact, we can't find them. We've also had situations where we've sent a contact that we had on record, the notification of a possible split. We didn't hear anything. We tried and tried, nothing. Nobody came back to us. And then several months later, the EN called us and said, hey, I understand this beneficiary is working with someone else. Is there a split payment process? And at that point, they let us know who the contact was. Whoever we sent it to, oh, they didn't forward the split payment notice to the payment contact. So those of you on a line, if you have not submitted a payment contact to SSA, please send it to enservice@ssa.gov, whatever the name of your payment contact and the email that we can send any notifications to. But we use email to send those notifications out.
Okay. The other thing I was just going to bring up, the gentleman that called, I think it was Sam, because we're with the Office of Education, I know we get questioned on any payments that are older. And anyway, so that's one of the things you always have to document your services that you provide and when you have those individuals in your service. It's just a recommendation to all ENs that we have to document information so that way we can justify to our accounting that we did the service and we get the payment. That's just food for thought for the gentleman that called.
Okay, thank
you.
All right. But happy holidays to all of you, and thank you so much for what you've done this year.
Thank you, Linda. We appreciate that. Happy holidays to you, too.
Janet, this question from Laura Leanne. Can you please repeat where the ticket portal user guide can be found?
Yes, absolutely. So when you received your welcome letter for login to the production website for the ticket portal, you also received a follow-up notification of the secure training website. And that secure training website is where all of the self-paced training module information is, and the user guide is accessible through that secure training and resource page. If you don't have that email, if you never logged in, shame on you. No, I'm just kidding. But there's a lot of good information there. If you no longer have the link or remember your password because it is secure, you certainly can call our help desk team, and they can go in and verify your access to the secure site, reset your password, and resend the link to you. The user guide is not accessible through our public Your Ticket to Work website. It's only accessible here through this secure training and resource page. So, again, be sure to give us a call at the help desk if you no longer have that information. Any additional questions, LaShonda?
There are no audio questions at this time.
Okay. Anything else on the chat?
We just have an issue that Judy has submitted, and we're going to push this issue, Judy, up to SSA. So, what Judy has written is we're having beneficiaries being told by the 1-800-772-1213 number that they do not need to obtain the BPQI and send it to us. All they need is, it's junk. I got to go back and find the rest of it. All they need is the benefit verification letter. This is not true. The BPQI tells the trial work month if beneficiary is blind, if they have a past plan, and also, sorry, somebody keeps writing something down here, and also, I'm sorry, the rest of this. Anyway, basically what she's saying is that the field office is incorrect, or the 800 number is incorrectly informing the end that they do not have to have a BPQI, or they can't get one, or they don't send them out any longer. Then it says some others have been advised by the 800 number. They do not send them out any longer. They need to call the local Social Security office. A lot of the local Social Security offices don't even know what the BPQI is. We'll push that issue up to SSA because I understand, I thought it was a project going on at SSA with the BPQI. So these issues, if you're seeing these issues,
ladies and gentlemen, this is the operator. I apologize. There will be a slight delay in today's conference. Please hold for the teleconference to resume. and you may resume.
Okay, great. Hey, guys, I apologize for the delay, but we had a little snafu with our phone line, and we were dropped. If everyone is still there and you have any additional questions, we'll give you another opportunity. But Deborah was responding to the chat question related to BPQI. It seems that Judy and Misty both posted inquiries or questions about comments about the BPQI process. We're going to push that up, and we can follow up on that particular issue. If there's any additional calls, please call us in before we wrap up. LaShonda?
There are no additional questions at this time. And we did have one to just come in. Well, there are no additional questions at this time.
Okay, I see a comment in the chat, and George, you're requesting it'd be nice to have one number for beneficiaries to call regarding BPQI instead of the incorrect info. We're with you, George, so we'll pass that information on. Okay, I think at this time we're going to go ahead and wrap up the call. Thanks again, everyone, for joining us today. We appreciate your feedback and participation. There were a lot of great questions, and again, the presentation is available on our website and will be part of the archive link for today's call. Happy holidays to everyone, however you may celebrate it. If you don't celebrate it, we'll just enjoy the next 4 weeks until we have this opportunity again, and you'll hear Sean's manly voice as he takes on the call hosting duties starting in January. Thanks again, everyone. That January call, I'm trying to look for the date to just give you a quick reminder. We certainly have it posted on our calendar on our YourTicketToWork.com website, but it would be Tuesday, January 26th. Again, enjoy your holidays, and thanks again for joining us today. Have a good day.
Ladies and gentlemen, that does conclude today's webinar. You may now disconnect your lines.